This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're now listening to Boomsies with Dan O'Toole on the BetRivers Network.
What's up, everybody? All is right in the world. Joey Votto is a Toronto Blue Jay. Bumsies.
Well, welcome to the show. Come on, it's time. Let's go.
That means it's working. Crack a cherry Coke. And we're off to the races. I'm Dan O'Toole. This is Boomsies. I want to jump right into Joey Votto. Joey Votto, non-roster invite to the Toronto Blue Jays. One of, maybe soon to be, the greatest Canadian baseball player of all time next to Larry Walker. And as the days go by, we learn more and more about how this came to be. Joey Votto becoming a Blue Jay is something I first brought up back in September when it was clear he would not be back with the Cincinnati Reds. Joey Votto, the 2010 NL MVP, stellar career. He battled depression openly, and then he got into other interests like chess. He knew he was putting too much pressure on himself. And then he discovered his love for the game in recent years. Joey Votto called Jays management. I don't think he has an agent. Joey Votto said, hey, give me a shot. And the Blue Jays finally did something right and said, okay, come on down. Joey Votto is now facing minor league pitching, working his way up to Grapefruit League action. He has openly said that he doesn't know if he'll make this team. I will read direct quotes. I may stink and may never play a game for the Toronto Blue Jays. But he said, the possibility of watching a championship parade from a Toronto sidewalk is something he would still look forward to, saying, quote, I'll be amongst the crowd waving, Kevin, hi, great job. Remember me? I went to a Blue Jays World Series parade. It was a different time. You could find parking, no problem, downtown. You could high five players as they were driving by in 1990s convertibles. I have pictures from it. My friends and I skipped school to go up to the parade. Not until recently did my mom know we took the car up there. She's like, what? You? Yeah. It was worth it. And she agreed. Joey Votto, if he makes the team, which he should, based on his career stats, based on the attitude he brings, based on the baseball knowledge he brings to the Toronto Blue Jays, he should be on that roster. Let the franchise have its Made in Canada moment. How much were you going to spend on Shohei Ohtani? $50 million a year? Joey Votto, if he makes the team, will make $2 million with another $2 million in incentives. It'll be for plate appearances, home runs, all that stuff, games played, I'm sure. There will be achievable benchmarks. But imagine the Rogers Center, the revamped Rogers Center. Not only when Joey Votto walks to the plate for his first appearance as a Toronto Blue Jay, but every plate appearance after that. That's not worth $2 million. I'd say it's worth a hell of a lot more. A Canadian-born player. He was born in Etobicoke, which is, if you've got no traffic, I don't know, 20 minutes from the Dome? Home of one of the greatest malls, Sherway Gardens. And for the Toronto Blue Jays, it'll be perfect makeup to slather all over this team in which really has no identity. Hey, here's Joey Votto. Oh, yeah. Makes people forget. It's the mind eraser. Joey Votto, the mind eraser. Give us that moment. Joey Votto has said he will not be wearing number 37. Which he has in camp. He wore number 19 in Cincy for nearly two decades. And he has said, if he makes the team, he has his eyes on a number that he's never been able to wear because of all the retired numbers in Cincy. And I did some digging here. So the numbers that he can't wear that were retired in Cincy that are currently occupied by Blue Jays, 5, 8, 11, and 13. So those are off the board. Which leaves open five numbers that Joey Votto could wear. 14, which was retired, worn by Pete Rose in Cincy. All numbers are available in Toronto. There are no retired numbers. Except 42, Jackie Robbins. 14, 1, 18, 20, and 24. Now, if I picture Joey Votto, who grew up a Blue Jays fan, he posted pictures of him in his high chair wearing a Blue Jays bib. He and I share the same birthday, September 10th. Born 5 years apart. He was born in 1980, I believe. I was born in 1975. So if his dream number is in line with great Toronto Blue Jays, I see him wearing number one, Tony Fernandez. Why not? Why not, eh? That was a retired number in Cincy. He was never able to wear it. And the other one would be 24. Just a classic number. But I have Joey Votto, and I've been bang on so far in my Joey Votto crystal ball. I have him wearing number one. Blue Jays, make it happen. But that made my weekend. I did want to pass along some sad news. If you're watching the video portion, holding up a picture here of me and two other gentlemen, the man in the middle, Andrew Boutelier, Bootsy, and the man to the side of him is Guy Boutelier. This was taken in Jasper or Banff in 2002, 2003. The sad news is that Guy Boutelier, one of the men in that picture, passed away last week at the age of 65. And I wanted to point it out that Guy was instrumental in kickstarting my broadcast career. Guy at one time was the youngest mayor ever in Canada when he was mayor of Fort McMurray. Went on to become the MLA for Fort McMurray. He devoted his entire career to that city and to that region. Guy, when I was on the radio, I'd see him at all the events, and he said, we should do a TV show. And I'm like, I've never done TV. He's like, oh, we'll figure it out. So we went to the local cable station. Guy knows everyone in town, so he talked to CJ Phillips, who ran the station. He's like, we want to do a talk show. The name of that talk show? On the Record. It was us sitting in two big, massive, it looked like, chairs stolen from Windsor Castle. We talked politics, which I knew nothing. I didn't have to do much because Guy did all the talking. It was a platform for him to speak to his constituents. And then later, when I became a reporter for CTV, and I did stories on Fort McMurray, I got paid per story. So Guy put a lot of money in my pockets because if I had no stories to do, I would call him up. I'd say, Gee, I get paid like $150 a story. He goes, ah, come on over. We'll make up something. So we talk about some road improvement that was going to be taking place in the next, I don't know, 5-10 years or something. So whenever I was struggling to find a story, Guy would help me manufacture one. So Guy, a great man, gone way too soon. We'll do this episode in his memory. And Bootsy, also a quality guy. Bootsy, one of these guys, we hadn't spoken on the phone in probably, I don't know, a couple years. Guy is a relative, or sorry, Bootsy was a relative of Guy. So I call up Bootsy. And we hadn't spoken in 2 years, yet it's like we spoke yesterday. And I said that to I say things to people now instead of keeping it in. I say, Bootsy, how long? When was the last time we spoke? And it's like we spoke yesterday. He goes, Dano, and it'll always be like that. That's a good friend. So that was sad news. So this episode's in memory of Guy. Our deepest condolences to his wife, Gail, and his son, and the rest of his family. So keep him in your thoughts. I wanted to also bring up something that happened in this house over the weekend. And it's tremendous. We got out the Uno. Uno, a classic game. If you haven't played it in a while, it's just fun. Now, we have combined two decks of Uno in this house. So it's massive. This is a big deck of Uno. And I was taken aback by some of the rules in which my kids were trying to impose on this game. So when you have a double decker of Uno, you get a train of pickup twos. So at one point, someone had to pick up like 14. My kids tried to claim if there's a train of pickup twos and it keeps going around, only the last person at the end of that, when it ends, has to pick up. The pickup 10 or pickup 14. I said, whoa, beep, 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 back that up. You pick up as it goes along. They're like, no, you don't. I said, first off, the correct Uno rules is you only have to pick up two. That's the max. Uno came out and said that, and everyone's like, well, you're playing the game wrong. You guys invented it. You're playing it wrong. We want Armageddon. So we put that to bed. The other one was, I said, if you put a pickup four on top of a pickup two, you pick up six. They said, nope. They are separate. That's where I called bull. But I let them have their way since I had my way on the other rule. So chime in with your thoughts on Uno, because I would love to share those with my children. Yeah, let's talk at gmail.com. That's YA, let's talk at gmail.com. The pickup four should be used in relation to the pickup two. My belief, I'll stick to that. And I'll go to my grave with that. Z Money, Tim, quickly, your thoughts. Am I in the wrong on that, or are my kids in the right?
Armageddon.
Yes, Tim, I knew it. Z?
I don't really play enough Uno to have an opinion on this.
Okay,
on
break it out, buddy. I tell you, you got to break it out. And we were discussing this yesterday during my live stream. They need an Uno slot machine. I don't know how you do it, but they need to come up with an Uno slot machine on the Bet Rivers app. Speaking of slots, you can catch me every Monday on the Bet Rivers Players Club YouTube page at 1 Eastern playing all the best and newest slots that Bet Rivers has to offer. It's a lot of fun. We had a blast yesterday. So if the Uno makers are listening, get into the slot game because I will be your first customer playing that on the live stream. I'm not the only one who streams for the Bet Rivers Players Club. You can catch a stream every weekday at 6 Eastern. Something else exciting happened over the weekend, and it was the first time I ever witnessed it. It might be the first time it ever happened. The Minnesota Wild were playing the Nashville Predators. Minnesota is desperate for points, trying to get into the postseason. Nashville, they're right on the cusp. They're on the proper half of the playoff picture, but they could fall out. So they went to overtime. And in overtime, the Minnesota Wild pulled their goalie. If I'm watching this, I'm like, well, this is brilliant. They've already got their point. They've got nothing to lose. They end up winning the game. They scored with the goalie pulled. Not until after did I learn that it wasn't just a ballsy move. It was maybe the most ballsy move you could do in that situation because they were not guaranteed a point. If you pull your goalie in 3-on-3 hockey and it's not a delayed penalty and the other team scores, you don't get a point. So the Minnesota Wild literally went all or nothing. And then it got me thinking, well, if they're doing that, they should get 3 points. Then more teams will try it. Speaking of Armageddon, you would have Armageddon in 3-on-3. So hats off to the Minnesota Wild. Thinking out of the box. I wonder if they knew that rule when they did this. I wonder if one of the coaches was like, we lose the point. They're like, I'm not sure about that. Let's try it anyway. It worked out, so they don't have to worry about it. Will other teams try it now? Now that they've seen it, why not? You copy what other teams do if it's successful. Remember when 3-on-3 used to be run and gun when it first came out, and then they've all adapted and said, well, we don't need to do that. We can slow things down and set plays up. Wish they would still go back to the run and gun, but that's for another time. We have so much to get to in the form of Boomsies Newsies. I wanted to get some emails. Here we go. This one was with regards to a subject we touched upon last week, and where Josh Donaldson retired from baseball, and I wondered if he went from one of the most beloved characters to one of the most hated in Toronto sports history. Hey, Dan, you're doing great with this whole podcast thing. Congrats on everything. On your last episode, you were talking about Toronto athletes that went from loved to hated. I'm no basketball whiz, but the one name that came to mind right away was Vince Carter. Carter was getting booed before he left, but Matt Sundin wasn't liked by all before he left either. I just think of how loved both Carter and Josh Donaldson were when they were at their best versus when they were gone. Thoughts? Thanks, Adam. I would wholeheartedly agree that Vince Carter went from hero to villain. Didn't help that he admitted in interviews that some nights he took off when playing for the Raptors on crap teams. So that added to the hate. But over time, time heals wounds. And that's what it's done for Vince Carter. Vince Carter is now beloved again. Vince Carter is the central figure on basketball flourishing in Canada. How many NBA players point to Vince Carter as the reason they fell in love with the game? Canadian-born players. So there is the Vince Carter effect, which makes people forget those years after his time as a Toronto Raptor. But Adam, thank you for pointing that out. This one is in regards to Franklin, the theme song that sounds just like Beyonce's. Hey, Dan the Orono Man, listening to the pod while walking Bob. He's my dog, not a crunchy old man like I know you were thinking. Anyway, I've never heard an old man be described as crunchy. But I like it. It fits. You played the Franklin theme song, and I had some thoughts. I'm currently on a Franklin Little Bear and Berenstain Bears kick with my daughter. Franklin isn't the only banger from back in the day. The Berenstain Bears theme is sung by Leanne Womack. Whoa, country music royalty. No skip intro option needed for this guy. Theme songs are a lost art. Love to hear you bringing the theme song trend back with an absolute gem, although I've never heard it not sped up. Keep up the good work. Sean, I need a nickname. Okay, so that, you've got some homework to do. Find the Berenstain Bears theme song and see if it is a banger. But if it's sung by Leanne Womack, I'm in. No preview needed. I agree. Banger certified. And finally, greetings from Saskatoon. On March 12th, 2024, will be my 1 year of sobriety from alcohol. This was spurred on by personal experience that changed my outlook with my relationship with alcohol. More importantly, I was hugely encouraged by how open and honest you were with your personal journey of sobriety, which helped me not feel alone in recovery and certainly helped normalize sobriety. Dan, thanks for being real and open and helping spur on others in their journey with sobriety. It truly was the summer of JD. Thank you greatly, JD from Saskatoon. Love getting those notes. JD, congrats, buddy. Huge accomplishment. And keep moving forward. Life continues to get better. Honestly. It's awesome. And we also have a voicemail to get to. You can leave us voicemails, 289-809-9690. 289-809-9690. Let's get to that.
Daniel O'Toole, this is Itty Bitty Kitty Steve. Been a while. Love to hear that you've got some time with the family at Niagara Falls. Question for you. If you were to name the Seven Wonders of the World Canadian edition, so the Seven Wonders of Canada, what would they be? Where would they be? You are a well-traveled man in Canada, so I'd love to hear your thoughts. See you later. Meow.
Very fitting because of the sweater I'm wearing. It's a sweater with a big cat on it, and it's also on the back. Last week, I wore a sweater with a wolf on it. My kids are not impressed by my recent fashion choices. Was at my daughter's friend's birthday party the other day. Bunch of little kids running around, and I wore this. And one of the parents said, "Like your sweater. Where'd you get it?" I said, "Amazon." I was tired of wearing gray. Just the style is just colors, like just a black sweater, a gray sweater, whatever. And I'm like, I'm bored. I'm bored of it. I want something different. So I typed in ugly hoodies on Amazon. And I found my Wolfie and I found my kitty. Meow. Why not? We only live once. I put this on. My kids are like, "You aren't wearing that outside, are you?" Now they're over it. Every time I'm out, people are like your sweater. I tell the kids, see? Amazon. Your place for fashions. Okay, so Itty Bitty Kitty Steve wanted my seven wonders. We gave us some thought. The guys let me hear this message, so I was able to write down some of my picks. And here they are. The Seven Wonders of Canada. He mentioned Niagara Falls. Yes, that is one of them. Lake Louise used to be on the $5 bill. Another wonder. The Magnetic Hill in Moncton. I think that's a big thing. You put your car in neutral and it goes up the hill. Yeah, that's a wonder. The Sleeping Giant in Thunder Bay. The Terry Fox statue is right there. You can look at the Terry Fox statue while looking at the Sleeping Giant, which is an island on your way into Thunder Bay, I believe you see it. And it looks like a giant that is sleepy. It is very true to its name. I've got that there. The Cabot Trail. Drove that a few summers ago in an RV. Do not drive the Cabot Trail in an RV. You will not see another RV. You will see convertibles and motorbikes. And you will be looked at like you are a crazy person for driving an RV. My foot was going through the floor on that brake pedal. Going down massive inclines. And the kids are like, hey, everything's okay up there, right? I'm like, hey, yeah, we're all good. And I'm like, if this brake fails, we gone. But we made it. And the final wonder of the world in Canada, the Peterborough lift locks. Sure, it's man-made. At one point, it was the largest lift locks in the world. Still stands there in all its glory. Could use a high-pressure spray at some point. And a fun fact, I've never been on it. I have never traveled the lift locks in a boat. In all my 48 years on this earth, this summer, I will try make it happen. Just need to find a boat. That's it. We do a live podcast while traveling in the lift locks. Nice sunny day. The crew and I having some cherry cokes, going shirtless. Going down the lift locks. There's nothing more Canadian than that. We're going to make it happen. Although, everything we ever say we're going to do on this podcast, we don't do because we just bring it up and then it's never brought up again. And that's on me. I'm not blaming producer Tim and Z Money. I'm just like, I throw it out there and then forget that I said it. As we bring in Z Money, there's a lot to break down, including massive news in the boxing world. And we have to break this down because there's some tidbits that I did not know about until today.
So, yes, on July 20th, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul are set to go toe-to-toe in a boxing match that will be on Netflix. Iron Mike, who is 57 years old, is set to face the 27-year-old YouTuber turned boxer at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. And now rumors are swirling that there is a headgear clause in the deal, causing fans to be upset because you're going to tune in basically just to watch a sparring session. Dan, are you going to watch that?
But people will still tune in because it's Mike Tyson. And when was the last time Mike Tyson was in a ring? The things I didn't know about was the headgear and the fact that it's on Netflix. So this is not a pay-per-view buy, meaning Tyson and Paul already know what they're going to make. And it's going to be a lot of money. Because Jake Paul has become a multimillionaire because of his pay-per-views. People tune in because it's a clown show. His last fight, as Troy Boy pointed out, not great numbers because he fought someone who he found on the street. But you cannot get a bigger name in boxing than Mike Tyson. Yes, he is pushing 60. Yes, I recently did see him using a cane. And this is in the last few years. There's video out there of him walking into a restaurant with a cane. Should you fight someone who recently used a cane? Probably not. Will we watch? F yeah. It's Mike Tyson. So conservative estimate. I don't know if these numbers will ever be released. But the worldwide appeal, the curiosity, and the fact that it will be free if you have Netflix, Am I crazy to say the over-under should be set at 100 million viewing? Is that too high or too low?
I think it's at least 100 million.
Okay. So Tim is taking the over at 100 million, which will make it the most viewed live sporting event on Netflix as they try to venture deeper into that category. They've done it with golf. Those could not have been big numbers. And Tim sent me a link. There was a cooking show that was going live the other night. Who was that, Tim?
David Chang.
Yes.
Yeah, it's he did like 5 episodes, I think. It's done now.
And I just viewed it because I wanted to see how the live events worked on Netflix. Obviously, a lot different. It's a cooking show. There's not a lot of camera movements. But it was seamless. There's no delay. It works. So if Netflix pulls this off, their next play will be for football, baseball, hockey, whatever they can get their hands on. Then it'll be another player vying for rights for pro sports. But 100 million, we've got it set at. That's happening in July. I did see some sparring videos of Mike Tyson recently, and I wouldn't step into the ring with him. He was on our first ever Fox episode of Fox Sports Live. We were bringing out all the celebs for that first week. So Jay and I were hanging with Mike, Iron Mike. He was standing behind us just before we were about to do a highlight segment. And I've said this before in the podcast. And I'm like, this is my only chance to be alone with Mike Tyson. So I said to him, I said, Mike, if you punched me as hard as you could in the head, would you break my neck? And what he said to me inspires me to this day. And I'm like, okay. So Mike looks at me and he says, you're stronger than you think. And I'm like, whoa, Mike Tyson. Pumping me up. Mike Tyson, my new hype man. But still, I would not want Mike Tyson to punch me in the head. There was no bigger time in boxing in my life than a Mike Tyson fight. This is when I was in Fort McMurray, and we would find a bar that was showing the fight, and it would be wall-to-wall people. You'd have to pay a cover charge to go in and watch it. It was fascinating. And even before that, when he'd have his 8 seconds fight, you'd want Mike Tyson to have a short fight. You wanted to see that fury. You wanted to see Mike Tyson unleashed. Will we see that at the age of 65? He doesn't want to be embarrassed. He's going in for a knockout, 100%. This will be his last fight ever. Mike Tyson wants to be known as a killer. So, headgear or not, Jake Paul, he won't have his neck broken, as Mike told me. But he may have the big concussion. See?
All right. NFL free agency is here. And I just want to get your sense on what I think is the craziest deal so far. Mike McCartney is the agent for Kirk Cousins. Okay. He just signed a 4-year, $180 million deal with the Atlanta Falcons. And here is Kirk Cousins' career earnings.
Oh, boy.
So in 2012, he had a standard four-year rookie deal.
I want to guess on this.
Yep.
So okay. You've got the total?
I got the total
on
here.
On Kirk Cousins' career earnings, is this including this contract?
This is including this
contract,
which is
how much, 180?
Yes, 180.
Okay, so 180 for this one. I'm going to say his last one was probably... I'm going to go with I'm going to say 720 million career earnings for Kirk Cousins.
Okay, okay. So that's a little high, but it's still crazy. So in 2016, 19.9 million fully guaranteed. 2017, 23.9 million fully guaranteed. And it just keeps going up from there. In 2018, 84 million. 2020, 66. 2022, 35. 2024, 150 million. So his career is at 411 million, and that's through 2027, of which 329 million is fully guaranteed. And this is for a man who has one playoff win in 12 years.
So I was 300 million off, but still over 400 million in career earnings for Kirk Cousins. Man, if my high school team had a football team, if my high school had a football team growing up, I may have had a different profession. Because, come on, put me in as a kid. Oh, no, I'd die. What am I? Who am I trying to kid? I would be dead. Remember a few years ago when everyone was taking their kids out of football because of the brain injuries? And I think that there's not as much talk about that now. And considering that you can make Kirk Cousins money and not really do anything, I don't think the football numbers are going to go down. They may have gone down for a few years, but football is what the sports world in North America revolves around. So those numbers will not drop.
Our last story, it's an anniversary of such this week. Monday was the fourth anniversary of when COVID-19
was. Oh, Z Money, I remember. Were you working that night?
I sure was, watching Rudy Gobert touch everything.
That's right. So there was rumblings about some virus going around, and we're like, okay. And then that was the night where the world stopped. So we were working on the show, Jay and I, along with producer Tim, Z Money, G-Bone was probably there, Hound Dog.
No, I was on vacation that week.
Of course you were. And when we started hearing word like, oh, yeah, games are going to get shut down. I don't know about you, Z-Money, but my first thought was, oh, man, we got vacation.
I was the exact same way. I was looking forward to an extended vacay.
Oh, we thought no work. We don't have to. There's going to be no sports. So what are we going to report on? But obviously the sports world shutting down is a massive story. So we found out we wouldn't be coming into work and we'd have to do shows from home. Those were a debacle, with kids running around and trying to figure out lighting and equipment being sent every day. No one could come to your home to help set it up. So we're shooting things off our phone. Those shows will go down as some of our worst ever, but we aren't alone. Saturday Night Live did a full Zoom episode, I believe, and it was atrocious. Everyone was just trying to figure things out as they went, but yeah, Rudy Gobert touching all the microphones, and then everyone in sports was like, we're done. What a strange time. And then the Stanley Cup playoffs with no fans, football games with no fans. The UFC was the one real sport that kept things going. The UFC's downtime was the shortest of all the leagues because Dana White he's kind of just a fly by the seat of his pants kind of guy. He's like, well, we're going to have Fight Island, which when I first heard about Fight Island, I'm probably like you and I'm like, oh, man, they're going to have an octagon on the beach. Cool. That didn't happen. They had it in a building on an island, where it was stringent testing and everyone had to get tested for COVID every single day and all that. But my vision of Fight Island was not what came to fruition. Oh, the COVID test, what a debacle all that was. It seems like a fever dream. And then you drive by your neighbors and we all like became narcs. We're like, oh, they've got three cars in the driveway. They've got too many people. You're sneaking into your family's houses through the back door, parking up the street so no one knows you're there. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here? God. We didn't, well, no one knew, so we're all just trying to figure out as we went along. If it happens again, it'll be done very differently. And if it does happen again, good luck locking everyone in their homes again, because that ain't happening. There will be a revolt. I do know that. Z Money, thanks as always, buddy. Thanks for your hospitality and hosting the Roll Up the Rim, hosting the Bet Rivers Players Club, which we do every Monday. I mentioned Roll Up the Rim because I won. I always bring Z Money, Timmy's extra large double double. They made it a large yesterday. I apologize for that. And I got myself a drink, so I had two Roll Up the Rims, and I won on one. And no offense to this company. They're trying their best. But I got a 3-month subscription to The Athletic. It was the first time I won something that wasn't a donut or a coffee. And I wish it was a donut or a coffee, because I haven't dove into that free subscription, but I know it'll be one that I forget about and I'll be billed for the next 2 years. But I finally broke my streak of winning something other than food or a drink. So that was fun. Enjoy St. Patrick's Day. It's this coming Sunday. The Leafs sent out their St. Pat's jerseys. They look stellar. They look mint. Kudos to them. Be responsible. Be responsible. Don't be a drunken idiot out there. Go have fun, but come on. And make sure you hug someone. You don't know who needs it. And be nice. It doesn't cost you anything. We'll see you later.
Welcome to Boomsies with Dan O'Toozy. Live from Orno in the heart of Ontario. Oh, baby, Boomsies.
Thanks for listening to Boomsies.